So you see right up here, little Christs. What comes to your mind? You hear little Christs. What comes to your mind? Children? Good. What else? Say it again. Growing his followers. Do you think of the word Christian at all? Because Christianos is little Christ. Little ones, Christ ones, like Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict, to comfort, to counsel, and to conform us into the likeness of Christ. And we get to be God's people in this world. I want to read for you out of Acts 4:13. And this is just so cool for me. I love this in every single way. This is kind of a launch pad for us, that this is what we would hope for. And we're going to get to this in just a little bit, not today, but in a couple of weeks. Now, when they, the people who actually killed Jesus, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men. I love that. What a title, right? You're uneducated and common. People ask you how you're doing. Some of you are like, I'm doing all right. Some of you are like, great. Some of you even use the word awesome. How many of you go, I'm common? I'm real average. I'm uneducated, but real happy. I mean, seriously, this is like, they saw that they were real simple people. You simple folk, aren't you? Check this out, though. And they recognize that they've been with Jesus. You know what? You look like the dude we just killed about 2 months ago. Oh, my goodness. Church, let that be said of us, that we look like Jesus. Not, oh, would you, he's got Jesus' ears. No, you've got Jesus' spirit. You look like him. We are excited to say that in 2020, we are going to look at what it means to be Christ ones in this world. And the book of Acts shares all of what that looks like to be the church. And so many people want the church to go back to the first century and be like they were. They were a hot mess, by the way, like we are. But they were close to what it was like to be with Jesus, and they made him known, and they followed him, and they listened to the Holy Spirit, and they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. They were dependent on God, and they didn't know what to do apart from what God would do for them. But this is more than a title. Christian is so much more than a title. It's a lifestyle. It's an identity, right? Looking like Jesus. You can fake that around some people, but to be Christ-like is a work of the Holy Spirit. And you and I simply need to be willing. And even that willingness he puts in our hearts. And so would you look this first few months all the way through Easter with us at what it means to be like Christ. And so I want to let you know that that word Christian is not just something we made up. Go again to the book of Acts. Acts 11:26. We're going to get way more context in the following months about this. But this is later on, after the disciples had started to become missionaries and take the message everywhere, because Jesus is for everybody, right? And so, now when Barnabas had went to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians, Christianos, Christ ones, little Christ. That became, for some people, this title that was supposed to be a diss. You know what a diss is? Because I graduated in 88, I'll say it was disrespectful. They thought they were dishonoring them. They thought that they were making fun of them. It's like, you're like a little goody-goody. But for us, that they would say, you look like Jesus. I mean, think about it. When you talk about things and when you watch particular shows or movies, when you listen to particular music and you find yourself being kind of transitioned away from stuff that glorifies sin, and you start to be stoked about Jesus, and people are like, oh gosh, all you do is talk about Jesus. I wish. But I don't know that many of us get that. That many of us get, yeah, you know what? It's always Jesus with you. What's up, girl? Why is it always about God? Why are you always talking about the Bible? Some of us do, but most of us don't. Because we got a whole lot that goes on around us that freaks us out, frustrates us, distracts us. And God knows it, and he's consistent to keep coming back at us. And so will you, with me, for 2020, recognize that even if the wheels fall off, even if nothing good seems to be happening in your life, Jesus is all of the things we learned about in 2019. Really, let's be honest, many of us have been learning about it for a lot longer. And I'm not trying to, well, the teaching of Aaron Day has made the difference. That's not what I'm saying. But we're making a big deal out of Jesus constantly in this church, and hopefully churches all over the place. But I want to tell you that even if things are terrible and painful, even if things are boring, even if things don't go the way you'd hoped, even if things go the opposite of the Midas touch, I don't turn stuff to gold. It turns to dookie when I touch it. Even if Jesus is, he always is. He died. And then he rose from the dead. He ascended and he gave us his spirit. You guys, nothing can defeat Jesus. So even if things don't seem right, Jesus is right. Even if you're feeling lost, Jesus is the Savior. He knows where you're at. He's got you. He's shaping you. He's forming you. He's even using the stuff that you wish would go away to shape you into his people. So we got some main ideas of what it's going to look like in the book of Acts. And I just, some of you are picture takers. And so if you are picture takers, here you go. If you're note takers, I would encourage you with that, because it's easier, right, to remember stuff when you write it down. But here's three things, main ideas that we're going to see in the book of Acts. First of all, we're going to see, where is God? Because he was like right there in the flesh. And then he was gone. And for 40 days, he's like, boop, 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 in and out, right? And then we're going to read again, and we read it at the end of the book of Luke, that Jesus was blessing his people, giving them commands, and then rose, like ascended right in front of them. And then he was gone. So you're going to see all the way through the book of Acts where people are getting killed and tortured and chased out and all kinds of problems. You're going to see this question answered over and over again, just like in our lives. Where's God? And you're going to see that Jesus' followers will look like him. Our stories will be like him. And for some of you, that might scare you a little bit. And that's okay. Some of you are going to be very encouraged by that. And that's more than okay. That's perfect. Be encouraged. But we're going to look like him. Remember, we just read it, and we're going to get more into what that context looks like in a couple of weeks. But people were arresting Jesus' followers pretty quickly. And they noticed that they'd been with him. They looked like him. And we see that in the book of Acts all the way through. Finally, you're going to see this. Who can stop Jesus' church? I mean, we see it often, right? That it looks like church attendance is down, and it looks like only in developing parts of the world that the church is exploding. Jesus' church can never be defeated. An ancient teacher, can't remember what his name was. You can look it up. I know it wasn't a girl because I thought, man, that sounds so amazing. That must be a woman. But it was a dude. He said, three distinct times in history, the church of Jesus Christ looked like it was going to the dogs, looked like it was dying. And every single time the dogs died and the church lives. The body of Christ, you, the church, lives forever because of who he is. And so we were talking and praying and chewing on and bantering and having all kinds of opportunities to discuss what it would look like to go from the book of Luke, which was the first in the volume of two volumes, to the book of Acts. And we're like, how can we encapsulate all of this? Well, these are the ideas, but how about this? With God's Spirit inside of them, the church is empowered to live, die, and rise again, just like Jesus. Amen. And nothing will stop it. You want to be on the J train or you want to watch? Jesus is forever. Even if Jesus is. Even if you're bored, even if you're having everything go the way, Jesus is still God, still awesome. And so what is our hope? What is our desired outcomes that we're hoping to see for the book of Acts? Again, please write these down or take a picture of them, because for you, I want you to know this is our aim, this is our prayer, this is our design because of what we know the Holy Spirit has been doing for centuries. So this is what we hope to see. This is our desired outcome. Number one, transformation. That's change of the church's character into alignment with Christ, that we would look like Jesus. There are so many people that have so many opinions. We want to go off of what Jesus says. We want to be like him and his character. Number two, that the church will be compelled, motivated, encouraged to engage the whole world. The whole world. Number three, that we would have increased sensitivity and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Like his church would be motivated, inspired, sensitive, and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Not just talk about it, but actually do it. Number four, our desired outcome is that there be increased participation in this particular church, in community groups, and authentic relationships. You guys, I'm on the cusp of watching multiple of my children chew on what it means to be Christ followers. And all of them are young adults. They are coming to find that the more time they spend with people who love and follow Jesus, the stronger they are in their faith. If any of you are sitting there going, duh, but you're not in consistent fellowship, and I love this time, this gathering is amazing, but this is not an intimate fellowship. This is a launch pad for that. You heard Pastor John say that we're not doing men's breakfast anymore. We do like a third Thursday men's like food, get together, 7 o'clock, let's get after it. We're replacing men's breakfast on that first Saturday morning with a church-wide gathering where we would get together, eat some food, pray, hear the word, and then go and serve. Call it Serve Saturday, whatever you want to call it. We're inviting you to be in. We're also asking you, if you know people who need help at their house, in their yard, that you would let us know. We're going to actually get together and be together. And this is, again, a launch pad for more authentic relationships. You can't be best friends with everybody, but you need to be close with Christ followers. Does anybody have a response to that? Thank you. Does anybody recognize that closeness with Christ followers? I'm not saying huddle up in a little pile of salt, but I'm saying get together, encourage one another, iron sharpening iron, challenging, praying with that group, and then go from there and share the good news. Be encouraged. Know that you're not by yourself. Yes, and many of us are missing out on that awesome. This is a significant desired outcome. And then finally, increase generosity as a lifestyle, though, not just money. Not just money. But money is a way to get after people. Hey, what do you do with your money? Sure, it's pretty personal. Want you back off. What do you do with your time? That's kind of personal. Want you back off. What are you doing in your sex life? How's your romance? Whoa, back off. Back up to this other desired, you know, number four. Increased accountability, increased relationship, increased authenticity is going to sharpen you. That's so good for us. So these are desired outcomes because this is what we see in the book of Acts. But just like the book of Acts, what happens when you don't see God? What happens when you don't feel him? What happens when the wheels seem to have come off? What happens when you're just not feeling him like you did at a retreat or at a service or on Christmas Eve or any of those times? What happens? Come on, preach. That's right. You will. See, I love that you said will, because what that also means is that sometimes you got to wait for it. Sometimes you got to sit and know that God is good even when nothing else seems to be. So let me ask you, how are you in waiting for it?
Impatient.
Anybody else agree with their own estimation? Now, Renee said this about herself, but how about you? Are you able to wait for it well? If you're able to wait for things well, you're a pretty patient woman, man, child. Please raise your hand. And not because we want to mock you. We want to get in on that. So you're patient, patient. Amen. How are you on waiting for God? Are you a thumb twiddler? Oh, well, God said he's going to show up, so. Or are you, God's taking his sweet time. I'm going to get over here and I'm going to manufacture something. And you can go all the way through the book. Well, the Bible is a big book of books, but you can go all the way through and find people who didn't have time to wait for God. But you find a truckload of people are like, God, we don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat, so we come to you. You got a guy like King Saul who's like, well, you're supposed to be here, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. And God's like, not my dude. Wait for it. You know, like, it's kind of funny, right? Like, you know something's supposed to happen. And some of you are really excited about how the Seahawks are going to play. And you're like, they're going to maybe be down. But in the fourth quarter, wait for it. It's going to happen. Gosh, you guys, it's so not eternal. Ask Tom Brady. Yes. Anyways. How easy is it for you to wait? Sorry, I don't want to rejoice. Yeah, I actually do want to rejoice in the fact that he struggled. I want us to know that all these desired outcomes, all this idea, what, I mean, gosh, just looking at it, what is it like when you feel like God's not there? Are you patient? Are you like, gosh, his track record's perfect. I can probably wait on him. He's going to show up. And you don't just wait. You're like, do the last thing that he told you to do. You do the last thing that you know was true about him. You walk in that reality. And we're going to learn a ton. I want to ask you guys to remember, if you took pictures of it or if you wrote it down, where is God? He's going to show you himself over and over again. He's on the throne. He's never stopped being, no matter what happens. I want to call you out on something, too. Some of you don't care where God is as long as your financial situation is good, as long as your kids are healthy, as long as you're passing all of the goals at work, or if you're at school, passing all the tests, as long as everything that you put out as your wish list for the year 2020 is starting to click off. You know, I mean, God's probably being awesome. That's where God is, because my life's good. Yeah. But where is God? many of us don't put ourselves in a spot where we have to rely on him. And Jesus' followers will look like him. Do you know what Jesus did? He suffered. And he overcame. Over and over again. And so will we. And when you're waiting for it, remember this. Jesus' church is unstoppable. Join me, please, in starting with the book of Acts. We'll go Acts 1 through 5, and then 6 through 11, and then we'll launch out into this amazing 2020. You guys might remember that Luke started out his book called Luke, writing to a guy named Theophilus. He's still writing to him. Many people believe that Theophilus was the guy that funded this whole project. And his whole reason for writing to Theophilus was to tell him about Jesus. And now we find out what the second volume is about. In the first book, O Theophilus, which means friend of God or God lover, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he'd given commands, more on the commands in a little bit, after he'd given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering, after his death, by many proofs, appearing to them and even eating with them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. More on the kingdom in a second. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Look, I'm going to do something great. Wait for it. Go and wait for it. I did all these things. I rose in front of you. I proved myself to you. Trust me. Wait for me. Dear church, I know that because we're in a group like this, I can say this and somebody's going to go, "Oh, he's talking to me." Praise God, I hope you're hearing it. But that's almost like at a Benny Hinn thing where he's like, "Somebody's got a bad back." Oh, really? In a group of more than two people, somebody's got a bad back? Huh, good job, Benny. But I know that right now, because I know some of your stories, but I know my story, I just look in the mirror on this one, that when you hear, "Trust God, wait for it," that is a personal message for you. It is coming at you with authority. And it's not my authority, it's the Holy Spirit. He is speaking to you. Jesus appeared just in the scriptures alone 10 or 11 times. Depending on how you count it. Those were not exhaustive. He proved himself over and over again. So when he says, "Wait," he's to be trusted. What am I waiting for? You're waiting for the Holy Spirit. If you are in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit right now. So you go back to work tomorrow after time off, Jesus is with you. You go back to school, Jesus is with you. For some of you, it's the same thing. Work, school. He's with you. You don't have to wait for him, but you might have to wait for him to come through in the way that you were hoping he would come through. But church, he's faithful and he'll be right there with you. But we didn't catch in Acts and Luke, really, all of the commands. He commanded to go and wait. And sometimes he's telling some of you to do that, whether it's for a spouse or for a job or for something else that you are hoping for. Wait. Don't make it happen. You can ask, seek, and knock, but do not shove your will down God's throat. That won't end well for you, church. But here's the command, and many of you know this and can read it, but even memorize it and speak it out. It's Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Hold on now. Wait and go. That seems kind of like confusing. Which one do you want me to do, God? Yep. I want you to do both. I want you to wait and I want you to go. Trusting Jesus and remembering who he is and what he said helps us to wait well. Back to one of the desired outcomes, right? That we would spend time together paying attention to the Holy Spirit, observing what he says, obeying what he says, living it out and sharing what he says. We'll let you know that these guys and probably some girls that were hanging out there as well are watching Jesus. He's already showed himself to them many times over 40 days. And he's up on this hill. And he's like, look, not many days from now, you're going to be filled, baptized, baptizo, immersed, filled with the Holy Spirit. So go and wait for it. And he's telling them that, and they're listening. And then we'll pick up the rest here, 6-8, at least for a little bit. So when they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Gosh. They keep asking him about the kingdom, and he's like, the kingdom's in you. My rule and my reign, that's the kingdom. But they had in their mind, like many of us have, a political kingdom. Not a spiritual kingdom. Not a heart kingdom. Not that kind of kingdom. They were really wanting Rome out. Look, Jesus, you just showed that nobody can defeat you. Are you going to restore the kingdom now? Jesus, ever patient. He tells us to wait for it. He's been waiting for us for a long time. They didn't realize there had to be a spiritual change, and he had just told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. But he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He told him before, I'm going to be with you always. Look, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and he's going to give you the authority, the power, the opportunity to be witnesses here, over there, and everywhere because Jesus is for everyone. And I want you to go and tell everybody. And they had to realize that, gosh, there has to be a change in the hearts of people before they can even see his rule and his reign. Jesus being for everybody is not an easy thing for us to recognize. But he will continually tell you that over and over again. Look through the book of Acts and watch with us. We'll finish with 9-11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. I know that we've done this before in the life of our church. Will you guys all just with me really quick at the end of the message here? Just look up with me for a second. Imagine, he's preaching to them, look, power's going to come upon you. You're going to go be my witnesses everywhere. It's going to be amazing. The Holy Spirit's going to fill you up, and then he just rises up, and they're all just looking. And I don't know exactly what was going through their minds, but they didn't see that two angels showed up because they were looking up. Watch this action. It's unstinking believable, and yet it's kind of like us too. We're like, gosh, where did he go? When he said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took them out of their sight. Took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. I just see the angels going, with him. And then said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He is faithful. He goes, and yet he stays by the Holy Spirit. And we'll read more about that next week. So I want to give you three things to launch out of here on. Such a dad thing. Be patient. Be patient. Live faithfully. So being patient isn't just sit around. It's live faithfully. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. Get together in community. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. And wait on God. Wait on him. Trust him. We know the rest of Acts 1. They find a new guy to take over for Judas. His name's Matthias. We don't hear anything else about him. But he had been around from the time Jesus began to teach. Well, he was baptized and teach and lived and died and rose from the dead. And they're like, look, we're going to need somebody else to help us witness to the resurrection. Because the resurrection changed everything. Dear friend, that's why in 2020 we're actually talking about Jesus today. And that's why you can have some guy go on and on for 35 minutes about trust God. Wait on God. He is faithful. Because God never lies. So if you're waiting on God, you're waiting to see his kingdom and his rule and his reign, wait in his rule and his reign. Trust him. Because you're little Christ's. You're like Jesus in this world. And baby, this world needs Jesus. And we could just sit there and be super frustrated and go, gosh, just the way everything happens, this world is terrible. It's going to hell in the handbasket. Tell them how they can be saved. Show them how they can be saved. Walk with Jesus, dear friend. This is what our world needs. And we're going to unpack how all of that looks. You can call Acts the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus. They're the same. But Jesus left and his Holy Spirit came. Are you guys ready to walk with God and to be more like him in this world? It's a good news thing. Because it's a lot, we're going to need God for it. And he's like, yep, I got you. Jesus, I want to thank you for my friends. I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for your great victory. Thank you for dying. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and being with us, that we can wait on you and we can trust you. It's your rule and your reign. That's the political party we want most to be affiliated with, is you. Jesus, you are the king. You are awesome in every way. You are present in our times of need. You're present in our time of abundance. You're always good. You never fail. Jesus, even when you died and the enemy in the world thought it was over, that's when you crucified sin. And you rose from the dead. You ascended and you left your spirit for us. That we would believe you and know you. May we actually live that out. May we be more like you. May we be little Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Grab your kids. Happy New Year. Go Hawks.